I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Amen. If you have a Bible today, turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Acts is about the early church, the beginnings of the early church. There's a man that we're going to look at his life. He's the Apostle Paul. And he got marvelously saved in Acts chapter 9 and started going around preaching. And those missionary journeys are recorded in Acts, all through Acts. We come to chapter 26. The Apostle Paul has started churches in Ephesus, Philippi, Corinth, Thyatira, just all kinds of different cities. But now he's a prisoner. He's entering the last stage of his life, and he's before a king by the name of Agrippa. And so we'll read a few verses here. If you're at Acts chapter 26, look with me at verse 18. The previous verse, God sends him to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, and he certainly was not. He goes through some persecution, and then in verse 22 he says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, talking about the Old Testament, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise again from the dead, and show the light unto the people and to the Gentiles, down to verse 27. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And we're going to look at why he said that and trust that God opens all of our hearts. But let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, bless your word today. Thank you for it. Thank you for the power of it. Thank you for the clarity, the light. And open every heart today. May you speak. And may we all listen and hear. And Lord, just bless now, bless this service for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The king said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. In Joel chapter 3, the Bible says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. And there's a lot of people that see the truth of God, but never accept it, never go forward with it. But it's an important thing. When God speaks, we listen. Amen. But we're doers of the word and not hearers only, because that's where the profit is. That's where the blessing comes from. He used the word Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Three times in the Bible that word is used, only three. One is in Acts chapter 11. They were first called Christians at Antioch. One is in 1 Peter chapter 4. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him glorify God on this behalf. And then here, where the king says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. The book of Acts records how the gospel went into all the world. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, God said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So the great commission is to take the gospel to the whole world. That's what God has told us to do. My wife and I have done a lot of missions work. We've been to about 10 different foreign countries. It's been a blessing to us, and so the book of Acts is always exciting to us to preach from. We have some visitors from India. I recently had an invitation to go to India and preach and teach, but since you came here, I don't have to go now. Amen? The Apostle Paul was an amazing Christian, and he went everywhere preaching the word. He wrote this in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible is such a powerful book. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It was Peter that asked the Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of everlasting life, eternal life. I was in Switzerland once. We were passing through Switzerland, doing some other missions work in some of those European countries. And I met a preacher who had a very bad past. He sold drugs. He ended up in prison. He ended up in solitary confinement in prison. And they gave him a Bible. And he read that Bible. He didn't have anything else to do, and he just read that Bible. I'm not sure, Linda, do you remember how long he was in prison? It was quite a while, because he read the Bible through 18 times. I'm kidding. But he did read a lot of Bible. But he said, just want to see if you're still there. But he said that the Bible, just reading the Bible, he heard about Jesus. He read the book of John, and he accepted Christ as his Savior. The Bible has that kind of power. In Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. There was darkness, but God said, let there be light. And there was light. In Hebrews, the Bible tells us how that God spoke the worlds into existence. And it's a blessing to know that. In John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. These are familiar Bible verses, but they speak of our Savior. Jesus said in Hebrews chapter 10, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. John chapter 5, search the scriptures. For these are they which testify of me, which speak of me, Jesus said. Paul told young Timothy to preach the word and to preach the gospel, and Eric mentioned that. The gospel is Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the message of the church. That's the message of our missionaries. That's the message of our Christian heritage. It's a blessing. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul said this. He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. When Jesus died on the cross, he was paying the penalty for our sin. He was dying in our place. When he rose again from the grave, he was providing a home for us in heaven. This is a blessing because he lives, we shall live also. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Though you were dead, yet you shall live just because of faith in me. For all those who accept Jesus Christ as Savior, they receive the gift of eternal life. John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Why am I using all of these Bible verses? Because this is not hearsay. This is the very word of God. The very word of God. And it's so powerful. It can change a life. It can change an eternity. And the testimonies were a real blessing. John 3:16, the most familiar verse in the Bible. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's good to chew on for a while. It's a blessed verse. Paul was reasoning to the king out of the scriptures. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know you believe. Why won't you become a Christian? In Acts chapter 26 and verse 28, again, Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. What did Paul say that got him so close? We're going to look at that this morning. Paul gave his testimony. Paul was preaching about the resurrection. And those are keys to knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. There were a couple testimonies. There's a lot of testimonies in this building today. And if we had time, that would be a blessing. Amen. Would you like to stay till 5 or 6 o'clock? Amen. Anybody like that? I'm kidding again. Amen. One. Okay. But we all have a testimony. Every Christian here has a testimony how God spoke to their heart. How God arranged circumstances in their life, brought people into their life that they might be able to see and hear the gospel. What a privilege that is. Paul said, and now I stand and am judged of the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. He's speaking of the Old Testament. He's speaking of the prophets and Moses. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Agrippa said, almost. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. This is not drudgery. This is peace of God, love of God, comfort of God. All of the verses. And God does all this for us. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He blesses our life. He's the God of all comfort. He's able to comfort us in all our tribulation, and then we're able to comfort those with the same comfort with we've been comforted by God. And so God blesses every one of us. Forget not all his benefits, and we'll look at all the benefits that come from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. To have your sins forgiven, to have a home in heaven, to know the peace of God, the love of God, the grace of God. It's a blessing. In Psalm 34, you don't want to take somebody's word for this. You have to experience this yourself. A lot of people will tell you, as Eric did and as Shakun did, that it's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. I say the same thing. Every Christian here would say the same thing. It is a blessing to be a Christian. And we've experienced the gift of God. We've experienced the forgiveness, the blessings of his grace, and all the things that God does for us. But there's a verse in the Psalms that says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O taste and see that the Lord is good. I've used this illustration before, but can anybody tell me, if you know this, you don't have to do this. You don't have to go down a different road. But has anybody ever tasted honey? Okay. What does honey taste like? Sweet? Honey is sweet? Is chocolate sweet? Okay. What is the difference between honey and chocolate? It's the taste, right? But you cannot explain what honey tastes like. Oh, taste and see that the Lord... I can tell you honey is good. I put it on toast. Amen? I put it on cereal. Sometimes I just eat it. It's good. Honey is good. It's sweet. It's tasty. It's healthy. But you don't know what it tastes like until you taste it. So, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You will never know it until you trust him. You will never know how good God is until you accept him as your Savior. But once you do, my, what a blessing that is. In John chapter 4 and verse 10, well, in John chapter 4, Shakun and Steve sang this song. Like the woman at the well I was seeking. And what's the name of the title? Fill my cup, Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. And there's a story in John chapter 4. Jesus must needs go through Samaria, and he finds this Samaritan woman, and he asks her for a drink of water. And she says, well, you're a Jew. The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Why are you asking me? And Jesus said this in the next verse. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. If you only knew the gift of God, you would ask and you would get living water. That's a spiritual gift. Amen. That's something wonderful to experience. And all we need to do is do that. Believest thou the prophets? There's all kinds of stories in the Old Testament that are fulfilled in the New Testament. Believest thou the prophets? Oh, by the way, the woman, when she accepted Christ as her Savior, she went into the city and she said, come, see a man told me all things whatsoever I did. Is not this the Christ? She was so changed by that, she wanted other people to be changed too. And I think God's favorite word is come. And that's what she said. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, because we're talking about the prophets too. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That is a pretty good deal. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. I will forgive them. I will accept you. I will receive you into my kingdom. It's just such a blessing to know the Lord. Turn, if you have your Bibles, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll read a couple verses. I'm almost through with the introduction. Should be through around noon, and then we'll eat and come back for some preaching. I'm kidding to you visitors. This is 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at two verses. Verse 18 says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, he died on the cross, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Christ is compared to the lamb without blemish and without spot. We go back to the Old Testament. We go back to the prophets. In Genesis chapter 22, the Lamb of God was prophesied. Abraham is going to make a sacrifice, and God says God will provide himself a sacrifice. That's exact wording. God will provide himself a sacrifice, and he was the sacrifice back then. We have Exodus chapter 12, the Lamb of God was crucified. In Exodus chapter 12, there are plagues that are coming on the nation of Egypt because they're keeping Israel in bondage. God sent a man there by the name of Moses to deliver the people, but Pharaoh kept refusing to deliver them until this last plague. It was the death of the firstborn. And God instructed the Jews to take a lamb and to shed its blood and to put blood over the top of the door and on each side post, which was like a cross. And God says, when the death angel passes by in the night, if I see the blood, I will pass over you. There will be no death, only life. If I see the blood, I will pass over you. And we sometimes have music with our sermons too. And it's a good thing to do. Anyway, that's Exodus chapter 12. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Christ said this. It says about Christ, even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The Jews still celebrate the Passover, and it's about the blood being shed, and our Savior shed his blood that we might have life. We go to the Lamb personified. Take your Bibles and look with me at Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. There are 12 verses in Isaiah 53, but there are 35 personal pronouns. Okay, we've heard about the Lamb of God, but now the Lamb of God in the Bible is being personified. Who is the Lamb of God? And we read, let's just read a couple verses here. Verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. It says in the next verse, on the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. One more verse, verse 11, the latter part. He shall bear their iniquities. And it's speaking about the Lamb of God. In Acts chapter 8, there's a man by the name of Philip. He was in a revival in Samaria, and God told him to go to the desert. He met an Ethiopian eunuch, a very important man, and he was in his chariot. He'd just come from Jerusalem. He went there to worship God. He's coming home empty, and he's reading the chapter that we just looked at, Isaiah 53. And as he's reading that, it talks about the Lamb of God in there, his sacrifice as a lamb. And Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I except some man guide me? And he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. That is the God that we serve. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So you have him identified. And then you have him still identified when John the Baptist saw him coming. In John chapter 1, he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And then you have the last one. It's Revelation chapter 5. The Lamb is glorified. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And so you go back in the Bible, you read the Bible, and you see how it all fits together. The prophecies are there. The truths are there. There's another story in the Bible in Numbers chapter 21. And the nation had murmured against God and against Moses. And God sent fiery serpents and they bit the people. And when the people were bitten by these serpents, the poison entered their veins and they died. And God told Moses to make a serpent of brass. The serpent speaks of sin, it speaks of the devil, and brass speaks of judgment. And he said, make a serpent of brass and put it up on a pole and then lift it up and tell the people, whoever looks, they'll live. If they look to that serpent of brass on that pole, they will live. And that's exactly what happened. You come in the New Testament in John chapter 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up on the cross. And whosoever believeth in him shall never perish, but have everlasting life. There's the life again. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. All Jesus spoke in parables. A parable is an earthly story about a heavenly truth. And I think it's Mark chapter 4. It's in a couple other gospels, but the parable of the seed and the sower. And it says, a sower went forth to sow seed. And they used to have the seed by the side, and they would do this, and they would sprinkle the seed. And sometimes the seed would go on stony ground. Sometimes it would go by the wayside. Sometimes it would go where there's too many weeds or thorns, and it would choke the seed. But there's always seed that fell on good ground. And the seed that fell on the good ground produced something. Amen? There was fruit that came. The plant lived. And so then he made application. He said, the seed is the word of God, and the ground is your heart. And sometimes we have a hard heart, or we don't receive it into our heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We're talking about something genuine, something desirable. And when that Bible finds its way into your heart, it changes you. It produces something. There's the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All of these blessings come when we receive the Word of God into a tender heart. What a blessing that is. In Luke chapter 18, there's another parable. It's of the Pharisee and the publican. Two men went up into the temple to pray. You've come to church today. Amen? The Word of God is being given out. Jesus is here. Where there are two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. He is here. And he's trying to work in every heart, absolutely every heart. And so two men went up into the temple to pray and to seek God. And the one said, I thank God I'm not as this man. I do this right, this right, this right, this right. That's not what God looks at. He looks at the heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The publican, he was a sinner. He would not lift up so much as his eyes unto God, but smote his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Short prayer. Amen. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that man went home justified. God said that. That's a parable. That's a picture for us today. If you receive the word of God, it will benefit you. What are the benefits of a Christian? Well, he daily loads us with benefits, and we're not to forget those benefits. I think eternal life is the best one. Amen? It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. All of us are going to die someday. Amen? It's going to happen. But there's something after that. There's eternal life. And if we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, we'll live forever with Him. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Knowing the meaning and the purpose of life. Eric mentioned that. It's good to know what life is all about. Amen? And it's not about getting anything here. It's about laying up treasure in heaven. It's seeing people saved so they can spend eternity with God. And so God does that for us. Know ye not that you're not your own? You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are His. Forgiveness of sin. Pardon. Remission. Freedom from the power of sin. Freedom from guilt. The Bible says, if you have a need, come to the mercy seat. Come to the throne of grace. And God always desires that. And there's that word, come again. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It just depends on what you're looking for today. If it's just chicken and a piece of pie, that's what you'll go home with, chicken and a piece of pie. But if you've come today and you prayed, and you said, God, speak to me today, He's doing that. It's a blessing to be a Christian. And what do Christians do? They follow Christ. And why do they follow Christ? Because He will lead us to other people that need to become Christians. Amen? That's what our life is about, so that we can honor our God and our Savior. Freedom from guilt. A relationship with God. Think about that. We know God. We know His love. We know His peace. And He's the creator of all things. He's the creator of life. He's the sustainer of life. He's the terminator of life. He is everything. Amen? And we have a personal relationship with Him. The Holy Spirit, I mentioned the verses. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those are wonderful attributes. And that's because Christ is at work in us. In Romans chapter 8, I believe it's Romans chapter 8, the Bible says that God has put something in our heart, and if He has saved us, if we have not the Spirit of Christ, we have none of His, but if we have the Spirit of Christ, we have all of these evidences. The Word of God was planted in a good heart, we've received the Lord as our Savior, and here comes the fruit. Amen? It's not a withered plant. And then the last one, a caring community. Christians, what a blessing it is to be brothers and sisters in Christ. And you have all the one another verses. We pray one for another. We love one another. We are kind one to another. We minister one to another. All of those one another verses. The church is pictured as a body that works together. And we have all of that just because of our faith. Almost thou believest. Almost persuaded to be a Christian. There's a song that was written years ago, Almost Persuaded, and this is the first verse. Almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call. Everybody comes to that decision. When you're convinced of the opposite, or God is trying to convince you of the positive, everybody comes to the place where they either accept or they reject. You come to God. I think that's an important thing. The very next verse, the second verse is, come, come today. Again, there's that invitation. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And a couple verses later, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts chapter 4, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is not what you do, it's what He did. He died on a cross. He paid the sin debt. So we can be saved. So our sins can be forgiven. And we can have a home in heaven for all eternity. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. I think it's Acts chapter 17 where Paul was in Athens. And when he went to Athens, they worshipped a lot of different gods. And they had little altars on a street that to this God, this God, this God, and this God. And there was one altar that said, to the unknown God. In case we miss one, we want to worship it. And they were worshiping an unknown God. And Paul preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. He identified who that God was. Today, we invite you to come. Jesus Christ is the Savior. We needed a Savior because we're sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need the Savior. And if you'll just take a Bible and search through it, the book of John, the book of Romans, and the New Testament, God will continue to speak to you. But maybe He's spoken to you today. And if He has, He wants to forgive your sins and give you a home in heaven. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. How do you come to God? Look to the cross, drink from the fountain, taste of the riches of His grace. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you could do that. You could pray, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Unto you which believe, He is precious. There's a desire to know Him. God will hear the prayer of your heart. You don't have to say anything out loud. But if you want sins forgiven and a home in heaven, pray this prayer. It doesn't have to be the exact words, but pray this prayer to God, Almighty God. He will hear you. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Thank you for dying in my place. Thank you for dying on the cross. I accept you as my Savior. I desire to go to heaven. Please forgive me of all my sin. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed, still bowed, eyes closed. If you said that prayer, would you just slip your hand up and put it back down? Is there anybody like that? God bless you. Just slip your hand up, put it back down. And amen. Amen. Father, thank you for your word today. And I pray that it's been planted in the hearts. I pray that it would be so wonderful, so desirable, that everyone here would know the joy of their salvation. God bless now as we have an invitation time, as we think about these statements, these verses, these truths, that you continue to bless in Jesus' name. Amen.